Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 21. As a co-founder, brand strategist, and sustainable business specialist at Green Blut, Christoph Dann helps good, green, sustainable, and ethical brands, companies, and services to succeed with digital marketing and e-commerce. Christoph loves to travel and to speak with people he can learn from, and that's why he runs the podcast Green Blut FM. His roots are in the fashion business where he started his business life 30 years ago. In 2005, after a career with conventional brands like Calvin Klein and others, he decided to dedicate his work life on helping green, fair, and ethical companies succeed. Christoph Dann, it's so great to have you here. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Hayut. Nice to meet you. And thanks for the invitation.
I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and passionate about today? And where are you heading?
Okay, I work at a company called Green Blut. And Green Blut is a marketing agency that helps green and sustainable brands to grow with digital tactics and strategies. I believe that the world needs more green and more sustainable brands. That's my passion, and that's where I want to put my work in. And we want to reach more green brands and help them to make a difference in the world and help their producers and customers to be more successful.
Wow. Do you have any definition to what green brands are?
The definition part is that we look at each company who applies, because green, of course, is not like, it's not very clear. Let's call it a sliding scale of green. There's dark green, where someone who is like super perfect, and there is like a green washing. These are like companies who try to appeal green. And at the end, we look at the background and we listen to our heart after researching the client, if it's really something that's in their heart, not just a tactical thing where they say we want to get more clients and appear a bit green. But we're quite sure that the clients we work with are really the ones where we can say, okay, we really stand behind the concept and we really are 100% sure that they're on the right track.
That's great. Can you tell me a bit about the company? How did you start? And also, what are you doing today?
Yes, of course. The company was started end 2012, in the beginning of 2013, together with my wife, Susanne. And we had worked in the field of green and sustainable brands for some years in distribution. And we found that there's a common problem with these green brands. On the one hand, there are more and more consumers that are searching for green and sustainable alternatives to conventional product offerings. And when we looked at the studies, we saw that 90% of all consumers are keen to buy ethical and fair products and services. But on the other hand, there seemed to be a blind spot when it comes to real consuming. Many consumers choose conventional products over green, ethical, and new products and services that are better in many ways. And so that's like the place we wanted to help. That's our services are all around this blind spot and this issue.
You feel that the green companies or the green brands are not telling the full story at the right way or the best way?
You know, like if you develop a green product, you have to, in the beginning, it's much more difficult to develop a product because you have to find like certified producers and you have to look at the working conditions. And so you're really, really like 99% of your time, you really need to work on the product to get the right price and manage to create a good product. And that's a great story for marketing. But at the end, these founders sometimes say, I'm not that good in marketing. And I somehow suck. I'm the creative type. And then they look for someone else to do it for them. But at the end, marketing is nothing more than to clearly and effectively communicate the true value of what you have to offer to the world. And
Sure. And
that's more or less what we do. And sometimes it takes some discussion with the brand owners that they have to think about how they tell their story. That's a big part of being successful.
Can you tell me the story? What exactly gave you the reason to work with the customers that you are working today, or it was the idea of helping green companies?
Perhaps I go back earlier. In the 90s, I was working for conventional brands. Like, I started in fashion business. And so you get approached by many brands. Do you want to do the distribution for my brand or this brand? And I had kind of a crisis. So I was thinking, if all these brands would disappear tomorrow, would it matter to someone? And the real answer was, no, it doesn't really matter. It's all more or less the same, but a bit different. So I was researching what is things I want to see in the world. And perhaps you know Gandhi's famous saying, you have to be the change you like to see in the world.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And so I started to do a research, and then I found that working with these kind of companies is like a filter for me. I said, like, if I only work for this kind of brands or companies, I get a unique knowledge and I have a filter for myself, because the biggest problem is not for many brands is that there are too many opportunities. You know, you could do this and you could do that, but at the end, you're not really good here and you're not really good in the other place. And so I thought, like, focusing and specialization for something I want to change is a good thing for my work. And so I started a distribution company for green brands. This was like already around the 2000s.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful because the way you chose your journey. I would like to ask you, what is your concept of beliefs in the way a green brand or entrepreneurial green brand should approach its customers, and give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus?
I would say, if you put it down to one advice, it's find a real customer problem. So if you speak to a real customer problem, the customer will listen, even in this crowded world. But this is easier said than done, because what many companies hit is the so-called curse of knowledge. Have you heard about that?
Sure. But perhaps you will tell a bit for our listeners.
The idea is, as you work on your product day in, day out, you have a detailed knowledge about your product. So you know so much about your product. And let's say on a scale from 1 to 10, you know 10 about your product, but the consumer and your customer, he's on this scale, he's on 0. So now you understand, okay, I need to simplify my message. I need to tell my story in a way that even someone with a 0 understands it. But when you do it, because you are on a 10, most companies come to a 7 or an 8. They are still too complicated. And the difference between 0 and 8 is the curse of knowledge. So you need to find a way to speak on a 1 or 2 language with your customer. And that's really difficult, because you need to ask and you need to understand your customer. This explanation, it's like the simple things are sometimes the most difficult things.
Do you have any example?
I have an example. If you look at the websites of many brands, the language you see a lot of times is like we, us, what we did. We looked for green products for 20 years, and then we went to we, us, us. And the real good brands speak the language of the consumer. One example I like a lot is a brand from the US. It's called The Reformation. It's a sustainable brand for young girls. And young girls want to dress sexy, and sustainable green fashion and trendy, sexy fashion. It's somehow people think that doesn't work together, but The Reformation is doing it in a good way. And the denim collection, she has just one sentence below the denim collection. She has nice pictures. And then it's like the denim collection. And the one sentence is, your ass and Mother Earth will thank you.
Is this a company that you work with?
No. We don't work with this company, but I used it in course we develop at the moment for our clients. But I found that she speaks really in the language of the consumer.
Yeah.
And it's simple. And another thing they do is, for example, they do like little stories, and it's always like from the problem of the consumer. So they do a collection for small girls below 1.60 meters or something. And the name of the collection is called Don't Call Me Cute.
Also, oh, wow.
I also like that because it's like, yeah, it's a customer issue. And you really see that they go deep into the problems and the issues of their consumers. And they do it in a great way. And I think that is something you need to find for your brand if you want to succeed.
I guess you have a lot of successes and we'll talk about them. However, I would like to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with a customer? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most. Can you tell us about
this? Okay, yes, there are many failures. and most,
to all most, of us.
Most of the time, the failures are the seed for the successes.
Right, wow.
It's not easy to describe. In the beginning, it's a failure. And after some years, you say, wow, thank God that I made this failure. And at the end, it was the seed for another successful thing.
We want the whole story. We want the success at the end as well.
One story that just happened recently is like our goal as a company is like to make a difference, to influence many people and yeah, to make a difference in the world. So when we started, one of the issues we had that our services were at the end not accessible for the smaller brands who were in the early stages of their company life cycle. In year one and two, we had so many green brands who wanted us to help with the e-commerce, but at the end, most of them could not afford our fees and we were only able to do 3 to 5 projects per year because like in the service business, time is really precious and you cannot triple or you cannot work 24 hours. It's impossible. And so we failed on this because the ones who needed help the most, we couldn't work with them. We did some pro bono work, but also that is at the end, it's not the way to scale. The problem that we have found no way to scale.
How did you solve it?
What you see a lot online is these courses that you book a course and you look at videos and you do some self-teaching. I personally like these courses, but I see a problem in at the end, you always get stuck at a certain point and you don't know how exactly this problem relates to your company. And I think you need some one-on-one coaching and consulting on this point. And that's what we did since last year. We started to add some group work. We took a group of 12 people. And had some interactive video-based training. And then at the end, we added one-on-one coaching and consulting just, let's say, for 1-2 hours a month. And so the customers were prepared. They had a deep understanding of the issue. And when we had the call, we had the work was much more effective. And so we could lower the prices and work with more customers. I think that is a good way to reach more clients without losing our mojo.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds like a great way. You did choose a challenging motto. I must say it's a beautiful one, however it's challenging. And I would like to ask you of your biggest success due to the right customer approach, the story of the most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something that you did right about approaching your customers.
Perhaps I would like to describe the power of leverage. We're always looking for that's like the heart of all our services. And we were approached by a customer and he had a green fashion brand and the brand had good growth numbers in the wholesale business. So, and he has started an online shop like 1 or 2 years before. And this e-commerce was extremely weak. And on the technical side, everything seemed to be fine. The shop was expensive and had a lot of bells and whistles, but somehow the results were extremely weak. And what most people do when facing low or no sales with their e-commerce, they jump on every shining object. So they go into the internet and then they see, oh, this is the newest thing, a new SEO agency, new ad campaigns, new products, new logos, new prices, you name it. The list goes on and on, but most of the time that doesn't work. And so when we approach this customer, we try to find the lever. What is the problem? What is the reason customers buy at wholesale? So, and the company was successful, but don't buy on the e-commerce. And we had a look on the website and what we found that people were leaving on certain places and the site had like all these things like 360 degree view of the product and a very unique tool to compare your sizes, you know, like sometimes the problem with e-commerce is you don't know the right size. And so they had built in a lot of tools and a lot of views and they wanted to do everything right.
Sure.
But what we found is that customers were leaving exactly at these places. Like the technical issue seemed to be like the problem. And so we always do tests. So what we did is we took the technical thing away and had a look if the numbers were changing. And that was exactly where we found the lever. So we worked through that. And by taking things away, the turnover growth was 600% in just 6 months. So it was the roadblock was not like adding something, but taking something away. And sometimes it's these simple, simple things that have the biggest leverage. And it's more difficult to find the simple things because it's easier to sell something complicated, some technical novelty. And sometimes this is a problem.
Are you familiar with the Lean Startup book of Eric Ries? So exactly that's what he talks about. He said, produce something lean and go to your customers. Because what happened here, that they made something too complicated for the customers. That's a great story.
Yeah, it's again the curse of knowledge a bit. Like, you know everything. And the problem was that the owner couldn't see the problem because he knew the website and he knew where to click. He said, okay, look, if you put it here, then it works. But the consumer doesn't know anything. He comes to the website, and if he has to start thinking, there's another famous book about usability on website. It's called Don't Make Me Think. So if you start to think, it's over. You just leave and go to another website. So
it's the intuition, being very intuitive to what customer do. It's the whole world of UX and UI, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus, marketing or sales that you use or your customers use?
So we use many tools, and on our website we have a list with tools we use on a regular basis. So if you're interested, I think that's the best way, because technology is always changing, and of course there are some basic tools that like a lot of people use, but perhaps it's interesting. It's on our website.
It sounds great, and we'll put the link
on our
show notes.
It's just like on the premium resources, and there's a part where you can download the list with all the tools we use, and there's also a description for all these tools. Perhaps that helps most.
It will help a lot. However, I do want you to try and choose the tool that you think is most practical, if there is any.
Yeah, there are several. On the e-commerce side, I really like Shopify. I think it's a great product. It's simple, it's easy to learn, and for smaller brands, I think it's the best e-commerce system.
Yeah.
So if you look for an e-commerce and you're a startup, I would suggest Shopify, but that's a common understanding. So we also use I use a tool from Ash Mara. Also, it's called Lean Stack. I find that's interesting. So the website is leanstack.co or something, but you'll find it in the show notes.
Sure.
It's like exactly what we have talked before. It's about finding like the leverage and the roadblocks. It's a simple piece of software where you can start with a lean canvas, and then you can start to do some tests and also write down your expectations before you do the test, and then measure if it was right or wrong. And it does a good job.
It sounds great. I haven't heard of this tool, so it sounds great. And what is the one thing, is there a one thing you are most fired up about today?
The one thing I'm really excited about is like the start of this new course I already described. It's called Grow Your Green E-Commerce, and it's starting this fall. And like at the moment, that's where I spend most of my time. And if you're interested, you can also head over to our website at greenblue.com, and there's a button on the homepage. You can click on that and then you can subscribe and you get more information about the course and if it's right for you and if it would work for your company.
It sounds great, because it sounds really like you, if we're talking about focus, and we're talking all the time about focus, you really focused on specific brands, specific kind of customers, really. Like John Nemo said yesterday in the interview, he said the riches are in the niches. Okay, you should really go down to find the exact customer, and it sounds like you've done that, and it sounds great. I think perhaps other small groups or other categories of entrepreneurs and startups, maybe they could use kind of marketing help that way better.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, there are a lot of factors that help us to succeed. And usually when we look at success, it happens thanks to a lot of factors. But I want to ask you, What is the most important factor that affected your success, the one key success factor that you have?
That's a difficult one, because there are so many factors, but a great question. And I think growth, on the one hand, doesn't come from reproducing the experiments of other companies. So, of course, you can read these success stories everywhere, and it seems like you just need to reproduce them, and then you are successful. I think it comes from finding a problem that's really a problem, customer problem, and then understanding the relationship your customers have with that problem. Really go deep into the customer side. I had that before, but this is like, if I have to put one factor, I think this would be the number one factor. It seems so easy, but really speak to the customer, try to get in the head of the customer and really understand the customer problem, not your problem. So the customer is not there to solve your problems and giving you money. The customer is there to solve their own problems. And you are like the guide. Yeah, you're something like a guide to help the customer solving their own problems.
Do you feel that for you, for both of you, you and Susanna, and your business, that's what really is the most important factor in your successes until now?
Sure. I think that's always like, and of course, sometimes you get stuck. And I feel that always when you get stuck, you need to speak to customers. You need to go deeper in this customer relation, because sometimes you're overanalyzing and you trying to solve problems by thinking instead of exploring. And and I think the best way, like if you get stuck or if there's a problem or if things are not working the way they should, you should go on the road, speak with your clients, get in touch with them and behave like you are one of them. Then the solution sometimes shows up more easily.
It's so interesting, because I must say that this is the advice that almost all the interviewees and the successful entrepreneurs and opinion leaders that were here in the show, that's the advice all of them are talking about. Talk with your customers. So in the greenfields, it probably works the same, I guess.
Yeah, it's the same. I think even more, because in the greenfield, you have to concentrate so much on your product, because it's more difficult to create a good product, because the regulations and everything are higher, and you have to look at so many things. It's even more crucial in this field to listen to the consumer.
Thank you. What is the best way to connect with you for those of our listeners that would like to learn more about you or get in touch?
Yeah, I'm on all the major social media channels. So I think business-wise, it's LinkedIn. So you can find me on my name, Christoph Dahn, D-A-H-N. I'm active on Twitter. It's like greenblut_KRIS. And also on Facebook. But mainly, I think LinkedIn and Twitter are fine.
Christoph, I would like to thank you for this interview. I enjoyed it. You brought a different angle of the business life of these companies that are really striving to bring the green life to our lives. And I want to thank you. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Hayut. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.